Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Bill Gross hasn't slept in 4 days. We bring him in now from PIMCO. Bill, good morning.
Hi, Tom.
How is your portfolio? Let me cut to the chase. Is it an opportunity for you when the Bank of Japan and, frankly, this jobs report shocks the world and we get higher bond prices, lower yields? Is that a good thing for Bill Gross?
Well, it's a good thing for higher prices and for the unit value of the funds that we manage, but ultimately it produces lower yields from which future returns cannot be derived. So it's a plus and it's a minus at the same time. But the strategy that we have followed up until this point is to buy treasuries, 5- and 10-year treasuries, and to anticipate that they will be moving lower in yield based on, these slower economic reports that we've seen today, and based on, importantly, Tom, based on the Bank of Japan and other central banks and their policies.
Let's stay in this jobs report. Futures negative 17, Dow futures negative 135. Bill Gross, this signals an off month in what was supposed to be an enthusiastic quarter. Do you look for a repeat of the recent years where it's a one-off early year enthusiasm, and then things get soggy?
We've talked about that. The Fed's talked about that in terms of the seasonals. Bernanke has suggested that the seasonal influence where, we've seen a strong first quarter and then weakness in the spring, probably will dissipate. And we suspect it will, but the seasonals are still with us. And I think we're beginning to see that in this March report that we've seen in early April. So, we're looking for a second quarter that's probably 1% to 2% in terms of real growth and nothing much more in terms of job creation than perhaps 125,000 going
forward. You have written in your notes, folks, see Bill Gross's notes, very thoughtful notes out at PIMCO.com, about the broader American experience. Now, Jim Glassman is a grizzled Northwestern economist, can be even more cynical and Muhammad Alarian. It's hard to believe. But, you look, Bill, at the struggle we're having, a lower unemployment rate, but for all the wrong reasons. What does it signal about that part of America struggling to find a better job?
Well, to us, Tom, it signals that there are significant structural influences, and there have been structural influences that have influenced not only what occurred in 2008, but what's occurred since in terms of the recovery. And the structural influences, are hard to analyze. They're qualitative in nature to a certain extent, but they include globalization and the transfer of jobs from the United States to Mexico or to China. Obviously, they include technology in which, to be simple about it, robots are taking, the jobs of humans. They include demographics to a certain extent in which aging boomers are, throwing up their hands in terms of, trying to find a job and retiring because of it. And so the structural influences are very difficult to counter, with monetary policy.
I look at this, Bill, and to come back and we'll talk about the real world of trying to make and not lose money in this environment. What is the Gross policy prescription for Washington? Mr. Krugman would suggest stimulus now. Mr. Rosengren is looking to close the output gap. And then the deficit scolds, and Mr. Stockman, of course, gaining the headlines right now, critical of the Fed. What is your prescription for Washington?
Well, there is a decent argument between austerity and less austerity, the Krugman argument, I suppose. Our prescription at PIMCO, and I think it's a commonsensical one, is simply to shift from consumption to investment. And that's a very delicate process when you involve the government and the creation of government jobs in the investment sector. But there's no doubt that what this country needs, going forward for our future is a shift of dollars from consumption and buying things to producing things to become the powerhouse, so to speak, that we used to be and to compete with countries like Mexico and China.
The tumult and cacophony on investors is shocking. Where do we find cover if we believe in the American economic experiment?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Do we still believe in the economic experiment, and how do you define that? I would define it, you know, over the past 100 years as a belief in capitalism and the rising tide of asset prices. I would suspect that going forward, relative to the past 100 years, there was a book called Triumph of the Optimists, which was titled appropriately because over the past century, the optimists have won the battle. Asset prices have risen dramatically on the basis of a number of factors, but certainly in terms of credit expansion, the problem going forward is, can we expand credit at the same rate and with the same effect that we did for the past 100 years? And I'm suspicious.
Well, you're suspicious. Brilliantly said, though. And folks, you could hear my David Stockman interview out at Bloomberg Radio, the podcast, and Bloomberg Radio Plus. You can see a transcript of it at Zero Hedge, the famed website Zero Hedge, has Mr. Stockman's comments. David Stockman, Bill Gross, calls about sundown in America. Do you see a sundown in America?
No, the sun's not going down, but there's certainly an element of dusk to it in terms of, you know, a less bright noontime shining, I suppose. And that speaks to demographics and an older generation that buys fewer things and that has less money to spend. It speaks to the debt that we've accumulated, and that would be David Stockman's primary point, and the inability to continue spending at the same rate. And it speaks to our diminishing influence on a global, worldwide perspective. And so all of those things, it's not to be a quarter glass, you know, full type of analyst, but it is a tempering influence that suspects that, you know, this 2% new normal economy is the best that we can expect.
But it seemed like you changed that view a couple of months ago. Are you still holding to that we're not in the 2% new normal anymore?
No, we haven't changed that view, Mike. We've talked about the positives in terms of energy and fracking and housing, which is, you know, giving us a significant upward thrust at the moment, and that could produce a quarter or so of 2 to 3% growth. But ultimately, we're in this 2% at best type of number because, you know, frankly, we haven't invested what we should have invested, and ultimately, you can't continue to depend.
I remember when you first came out with that, you said it wasn't permanent, but for a period of time. How much longer do you see that as the case?
Well, we think there might be a quarter or two in 2013, and it ultimately depends, Mike, on, you know, whether the handoff between the public and the private sectors, whether QE can invigorate animal spirits, takes place. We remain suspicious. We're hopeful, but we don't think that the private sector, you know, is willing to invest with not only uncertainty and sequestration, but also a global environment in which the aggregate demand is lacking.
Alan Ruskin, just publishing moments ago, and Michael McKee, he's where you've been in your good analysis with, yes, the headline data is grim, folks. Futures negative 19, Dow futures negative 149, 10-year yield 1.70%. All of that indicating stronger euro, almost back to 130. But beneath this, the headlines here, Michael, there's actually some okay data. Are you focused there on the better hours worked?
Well, better hours worked is one category, and also a larger increase in temporary jobs. What it looks to me is that companies took a pause in hiring. They weren't sure whether they wanted to add given the uncertainty in the economy with the fiscal stuff going on in Europe, but they kept working. They didn't cut back on what they were producing.
And then Bill Gross, with that nice statement there, when you go into your famed PIMCO morning meeting, it's 40 people in a room, folks, arguing with each other over the 49ers and the Jets. But Bill, when you go into that meeting, do you go in looking for a recovering economy, or do you agree with Joshua Shapiro at MFR that this is as good as it gets for 2013?
Well, I think in the U.S. it's as good as it gets. Certainly, there's room for improvement in Euroland and in Japan, importantly. But, you know, in the United States, we've had the best of it, really, relative to G7 and developed economies. And I suspect we're not going to get much better going forward. We'll improve based upon the improvement at some point in Euroland and Japan. But our internal dynamics, I think, are approaching full speed.
Well, after yesterday's press conference by Mario Draghi, what's the PIMCO position on what the ECB is going to do?
And that's important. We sort of know what Japan has done, but the ECB is stalling and taking their time, being very Austrian, of course. Mario Draghi, I think, yesterday signaled that the ECB stands ready to act, which is the signal for a policy rate cut in May. And I think importantly, Mark, in addition, he also revealed that there's been extensive discussion about standard and, underlined here, non-standard measures, which may mean to us going around the banks to lend directly to weak small businesses in the EZ. Now, that's probably 6 months out based on the time frame for the ECB, but I suspect at some point the ECB will go all in as well.
The distinction I see between your work, Bill, and your wonderful colleague, Dr. Elarian, is over something as monumental as France. Now, we can look at Italy without a government, we can look at France with all the challenges, or we can look at a distraction like Slovenia or Malta. What is Bill Gross's prism of Europe right now? What are you actually focused on?
Well, we're focused on the peripherals, of course, and Cyprus and the potential for money to be moving underneath the table, you know, from bank to bank and country to country. I think that's an important element. And, you know, whether or not Italy and Spain can prevent a continual decline in terms of production and a rise in unemployment. Those are the critical areas. France, to us, we see no reason why their yield should be very close to German Bund yields. Their economy, to my way of thinking, it belongs closer to Italy and Spain. But nonetheless, markets in Euroland believe that those two are Siamese twins and that they deserve to be treated equally or close to equally. I'm of a different persuasion.
Michael McKee, what? The 10-year German Bund is a 1.208. That is almost, I believe that's almost a record low. Bill, what do you do with your European paper?
Well, we have positions, you know, 5% positions in Spain and Italy. It's short. It's a 3 to 4 year paper, and it's based upon the assumption of, you know, Draghi doing whatever it takes at some point, whether that's an OMT or simply, you know, these policies that I just suggested that may be just around the corner in May. So we think those are surviving countries, and we think those yields at 4 to 5% are attractive. We wouldn't buy bunds at these levels. We're underweight bunds. So we play Europe from the rather strong peripheral countries and cross our fingers in the process.
All right. We've seen a new low for the U.S. 10-year, but it's coming back a little bit. Stock markets, everybody was saying very quickly, but I got to ask, everybody was saying, you know, this might be a trigger for the sell-off. Are we going to see the spring swoon again?
Well, I think stocks are fully priced for the moment. There's no doubt in our opinion that earnings have peaked and flattened and perhaps are moving slightly negative. What has provided the push for stocks and over the past several months, in our view, has been, you know, money moving from, yes, money market funds, but also from corporations. Corporate buybacks have been significant in terms of the push upwards and will continue, you know, to be a support for the stock market. So we're not negative on stocks, but we simply think that, you know, that the returns going forward will be at the 4 to 5 to 6% level as opposed to double digits.
Bill, generous of you to be with us today. Bill Gross.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.